Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
How's everyone doing? Good to see you this morning. Trust that you've had a great weekend, a good weekend thus far, and you still have time on the clock. So if you have some things you need to do to make it a good weekend, man, you still have the opportunity. And I'm just thankful for our church family. I was sitting there during the announcement videos just thinking, man, we've been in a real busy season as a church with things going on in September, a life group kickoff, and then things happen in Kids Fest and whatnot with Fall Fest. I mean, Fall Fest like seems like it was a long time ago, right? But it was only 2 weeks ago. And then last week there was stuff going on with a picnic. And then this week there was Faith in Blue and just different things. So it's been a good season here. In a couple of weeks, our team leaves for Columbia. So there'll be 10 going to Columbia here. So just be praying for us as you praying for that team as they prepare to head out and just serve there in Sawatcha. So we're excited for them and for the opportunity that they have to minister there in Columbia. But we're here in this house today. Look at your neighbor and say, man, I'm glad you're here. Let's pray. Father, over the next few minutes as we look at your word, I pray that it would speak to us. I pray that it would be living. I pray, Father God, that, Lord, anything that you need to pull out of us, so be it. God, anything that you want to put in us, so be it, Father God. We just want to know you more. God, we want to pursue you with greater effort, with greater passion, with greater understanding, God, and we want to reflect you to those that we're sitting next to you, and to those that we come into contact throughout the coming week. And Lord, be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As the announcement video had said, that we've been in this series in Romans 8 entitled More Than for this is our fourth or fifth Sunday now that we have been in it. And it's been encouraging as you have come and talked to me after service or throughout the week and have mentioned things that the Lord has spoken to you through this series, and I appreciate those words, and it helps me to know that God is using his word, and it encourages me to know that God's speaking to you, and that you're like, man, I just want God to do something bigger than any in my life than I could do myself. And so that's awesome. As we dive in today, I want to just jump right into the target statement of what I want to talk to you about over this as we walk through this portion of scripture in Romans 8 this morning. The target statement is this: the line of communication with God is always open, never to be met with full mailboxes. How many of you just hate that when you call somebody and it says, we're sorry, this, you know, person is, their mailbox is full? How many of you text them and say, will you please empty your mailbox? I do that sometimes. And your mailbox are met with full mailboxes, automated services, or voice recordings. In other words, I want to just talk to you tonight, and I want to speak into your life this morning that you are more connected than you think. I don't know if you're like me, but I like the idea of expedited services. So we, as of recent, the last couple of years, really this last year, we have flown Southwest Airlines a lot as we go down to Texas, or as we have gone to different places. This last year, we do Southwest because I'm on a mission, man. I want to be an A group. I've not arrived to that expedited service of A group, and so I sit, you know, in B, and if I forget to log on and claim my seat, then I'm clear back in C. How many feel that pain sometimes when you're at C and you're like looking for that one seat and you're not finding it because it's all full, and they all just point at the back of the plane where you're going, and so I like that expedited service. I want to get an A group. That's my goal in life. I'm just kidding. Or what about this? A couple of months ago, we were at General Counsel. We rented a car from Hertz Car Rental. So we walked up to the counter at the airport where the conference was being held at, and I gave them my name, I gave them my license, I told them my phone number, and they typed it all in, and they just kind of looked at me, and they're like, we have nothing. So I talked really slow to them. my phone. No, and I just kind of looked at him. I was like, "What do you?" I just checked it like a couple days ago to make sure that I had this reservation. And so I opened up my computer because I had that email saved in a special file, and I had, you know, had to load up. And then I gave him the confirmation number, and the rep types it in, kind of looks at me over his glasses, hits enter, looks at me again, and says, kind of like with his nod, that has some like attitude to it. He's like, "You're over there." And I'm like, "What do you mean I'm over there?" He's like, "You're over there. This is the gold line. And you're not one of them." He didn't say that. He wasn't that like mean to me, but I was like, so I picked up my bag and I walked with my head down, you know, like Linus carrying his blanket or something, but and got our car and we were on our way. But you know, just that whole idea of expedited services. You go to Disney World and if, you know, the few times that we've been there, man, I was like all about the fast pass. You know, I mean, why, you know, stand in line for an hour and a half or 2 hours? Right? So get the fast pass or whatever. So all about that. We love that service, especially when you're the recipient of it. When you're standing in line as other people are walking by, it makes you mad. True confession, all right? But now, with that idea of expedited services, I want you to understand that you are more connected than you think because of the Holy Spirit in you. Romans 8, we've referred to it as the Great Eight. We've referred to it as the Inner Cathedral and the House of Praise. This incredible chapter of Scripture mentions the Holy Spirit 20 times in one chapter. Reference to the Spirit are made. And I want us to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our life, and in particular the subject matter that I want to speak to you about this morning, and that is that this, you are more than your loneliness. I don't know if you've ever felt this, but you can be in a room this size this morning and with a good crowd in this room and you can feel lonely. You can feel alone. It's amazing to me that you can go to a mall packed the Saturday before Christmas and it's as packed and you parked on the outer rim of the parking area, right? Because it's so busy and you're like, man, I dread going into this place today because you know it's going to be packed. But you go in there and you can be in such a packed place or at a football stadium. There'll be stadiums sold out today all over our country, people cheering for a game. But yet there's people in those stands, there's people in that mall the Sunday before Christmas, and they feel lonely. They feel alone, even though there's people all around them. You can have 1,000 followers on social media, or AKA friends, and feel lonely. You can be going through a challenging season in your life and feel like you're all alone. There's really two types of loneliness as I think about this topic this morning. There's vertical loneliness, to feel like God doesn't know you, or maybe God doesn't care about you, or that God doesn't see what you're going through, or he's not listening to the petitions that you're offering him. Maybe you know that he does. Theologically, you know that he's hearing you, but you just feel like, man, there's this brass heavens. Have you ever had that experience? Or your worship just feels like motion? Then there's that horizontal loneliness that's wondering if anyone notices you. It's the thought that goes through your mind when you've been in a place like this. Maybe you've been to church before and you're like, man, if I didn't go there today, would people even know? To all the life pointers in the house, this is your home church. The culture of this house is our house, is your house. It's intentionality, it's hospitality, it's the fact that it isn't just the greeter's job to set a welcoming environment, though they're the first line, it's all of our job. It's all our job to look across the room and go, man, I've not met that person, I wonder who that person is, I'm going to go meet them. Because God forbid that anyone would ever leave our house and feel like they're alone. But the reality is all of us have probably been there before. being honest. Let's be kind and gracious and intentional with others. Let's make it our prayer. Lord, how do you want to use me to speak into other people's lives at church today or tomorrow when I come into contact them at work, or if I'm, you know, checking out at the grocery store or at Cracker Barrel, whatever. Help me be intentional. Help me to listen to the promptings of your Spirit, because I know you're wanting to prompt me. It's a divine opportunity to be that way in this place and other places. But may we not be so fast-paced, so busy that we don't listen to what's going on within our own heart, but also that we're not aware to what's going on around with those that are around us. As we speak on this topic this morning, you're more than your loneliness. You're more connected than you think. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26, if you would, with me. Scripture says this, likewise. Look at your neighbor and say, likewise. Likewise is connecting to the previous statement. So going back to last week, we talked about suffering. So likewise, there's this groaning of creation. Likewise, this groaning within you during hardships and trials and sufferings and temptations and titles and all that stuff. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Notice this, as you look at that text, I want you to notice a key word in there. And the key word is in our struggles. Not once the dust settles and you're on the backside of the struggle. Not when you get to heaven and it's perfect and there's no more tears and there's no more sorrows. No, it's in your struggle. You're not alone. Remember this. We talked about it last week, just touched on it anyway. Paul is writing this letter from a Roman prison. He's chained. He's been beaten. He is waiting for his execution, which would be the removal of his head. Paul, the apostle, reminding us, I'm not exempt from hardship. I'm not exempt from this feeling of loneliness or being alone. This is a guy who encountered Christ on the Damascus Road that you read about in Acts chapter 9. This is the guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. This is the guy who was taken up to the third heavens that Corinthians tells about. Yet he says, I have struggles too. Yet there's times where I have felt abandoned, where I have been abandoned. I felt lonely. This hero that we look at, this guy who we admire, says the struggles are real. When we live for Jesus, we will have some difficult days, right? Days can turn into years. The difference is hanging on to the fact that we are more connected than we think. So let me just throw 3 or 4 thoughts at you this morning. The first one is this: the Holy Spirit supplies in our weakness. Look at it, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That word help means to lift or bears the burden of. Think about this. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit lifts, bears the burden of. In other words, takes on the weight. You could define help this way: to aggressively and personally perform a task with another for the purpose of giving appropriate help. Meaning it isn't you carrying the majority of the weight, the majority of the situation, but it's the Holy Spirit who is doing that for you. It's kind of like this, if I could paint this illustration. That remember when your kids were little or your grandkids or whatever, and they were trying to pick up something, and man, they're just like, they're bearing down. They're trying to pick that thing up. It's really not that heavy, but to them, it's like really heavy. And so you walk over there, and you're just like, here, let me help you up with that. So you pick that thing up, and they still think that they're carrying all the weight. But you're doing it, right? And you're kind of stepping into this imagery of what the Holy Spirit does for us in fulfilling that role. If I could illustrate it this way this morning, we're trying to have different illustrations throughout this portion of the series, but in this wheelbarrow are full, it's full of weights. My friends over at Hornet Fitness said they let me borrow some of these. And so it's full of weights. These weights represent your suffering. They represent your trials. It represents your temptations. It represents the pain that you have encountered in life. It represents your loneliness. Those things that feel so heavy. And the reality is this, that all of us are either walking into, or we're in, or we've just walked out of such a season of trials, temptations, suffering, mistakes, right? And as we understand that, we have to understand that God isn't the cause of the wheelbarrows in our life. But he gives us the Holy Spirit. He provides for us the Holy Spirit in the context of that word help, who lifts the problems, who lifts the situation, who lifts the season, and doesn't ask you to carry it yourself, but says, let me carry that for you. Let me take that somewhere for you. And he lifts it. And you know where he wants you to be? Instead of back here. How many of you are guilty of being back here? I'll carry this. I'll handle this. I'll feel the weight of it. I'll feel the burn of that. And all the time, God is saying, I want you up here. I want you up here. Let me carry that, because I want to take you somewhere. So the Holy Spirit helps. He lifts us in that struggle. Again, the context is the Holy Spirit is the one doing the lifting. Unfortunately, I don't think it's just in the church world, but since that's our world, a lot of the times we do this. We have our wheelbarrow full of stuff, and we like to cover our stuff. We like to cover our suffering. We like to cover our loneliness. We like to cover our trials. We like to cover our mistakes. People ask us questions like, hey, how you doing? Our response, fine. We like to cover it. We like to act like we have it all together. Great question that we learned in Life Group this last Sunday. And it's a challenging question. But it's a great question, because it pushes us beyond, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. And it's this question. What does it feel like to be you right now? I mean, that's scary. Like, you know, Robin, last, I don't know if it was Sunday night after Life Group or if it was the Monday or whenever, but we kind of talked a little bit about that. So what does it feel like to be you right now? Fine. That's like the, I don't want to go there, you know, response. But like, how vulnerable, right? I mean, maybe not the wisest question just to go up to somebody in aisle 17 at Walmart this afternoon and say, hey, what's it feel like to be you right now? You know, it's like, what do you mean by that? But to someone, you know, they got your back. Someone, you know, that they're journeying towards Christ and is passionate for Christ, and they ask you a question, what does it feel like to be you right now? How are you going to answer that? Because that shows who's carrying the wheelbarrow. You're not alone. You're more than your loneliness. Let's take courage today that the Holy Spirit supplies help in my weaknesses. I realize that as you look at your wheelbarrow, fully realize as you look at this morning, and as you look at it, some of y'all are putting your stuff in the wheelbarrow. Like, oh, I got that situation. I got this situation. Oh, I got this coming deal that's going to be unfolding in my life, and I don't know how it's going to play out, but I feel the weight of it because it's unknown, and it makes me nervous. My prayer this morning as I was here early was, Lord, just, man, would you drop a note in their heart today, in their spirit today. Whisper to them today, hey, I'm lifting that for you. But Steve, why isn't he delivering me? Because that's a question that logically follows, right? I wish I could stand here and say, well, it's because this, this, and this. I don't know. But what I do know is that he's using this moment in your life for a destiny that he has for you. But Steve, I don't want this moment. It's a short view. I think God is, one of the things that I see God trying to speak to us through this series is, I don't want you to have a short view. I want you to have a long view. Look, I mentioned a bit ago that the Holy Spirit is mentioned 20 times in Romans 8. What do you see the Spirit doing within this chapter? You see him changing our thinking. You see him producing life and peace in us. You see him living in us. Will resurrect us. He helps us overcome sin. He confirms our salvation. He prays for us. And part of the struggle in these wheelbarrow moments is that we don't know what we ought to pray. That leads us to our second thought. Holy Spirit speaks in our lack of words. Look at it, verse 26. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. How many of you ever had one of those I don't know what to pray moments? Or I don't know how to pray for this situation. This situation's too big. I don't even know how to pray. This situation's too overwhelming for me. I don't know how to pray. What is your default in these heavy moments? God, I lift this up to you. God, do a work in my life. Sculpt me, even though this is a season that I hate and I wish it would end. Lord, in this moment, work in me. Usually our prayer, if I can just be blunt, honest, is God, get me out of here. Right? God, I'm hitting the ejector button and the canopy's not opening up to get me out of here. The plane's going down. God, why is this going on? What did I do wrong? So the Bible says when we don't know how we ought to pray, Paul's experienced this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we referenced it last week with the removal of the thorn. God, I prayed, take this thing. And God didn't take it from him. Jesus in the garden, Lord, remove this cup from me. God's own son, three times praying to the Father, take this cup from me. What was the result of those prayers? The weight of his situation. Jesus felt the way a wheelbarrow too. And the weight of that brought what in his life? Scripture says he sweated drops of blood. That's weight. And then he said these words, but not my will, but your will be done. That's long view. Jesus felt, I just want to say to you today that Jesus felt the wheelbarrow too. The good news about today is when you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit speaks, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The great country music singer, theologian, Garth Brooks said, thank God for unanswered prayers. I think about that. I think, I'm glad God didn't answer all my prayers. You may feel lonely and things may feel weighty, and I'm not trying to dismiss that because that's a reality. But the Spirit is helping lift to get you to where he wants you. We have to be careful. Listen, we have to be careful about rushing the process. If a butterfly comes out of the cocoon too soon, it's not going to be able to fly. It's not going to be able to function in its full purpose. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That word intercedes is to energize. It's the same word used in just when Judges talks about Samson. You know Samson, the he-man with a she-weakness guy, right? And it says that the Spirit would come upon him. The Spirit literally would energize him to do the feats that he accomplished. It's the same word used of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, oh, mighty man of valor, you are. Why? Because the Spirit came upon him and energized him. Going on in Romans 8:26, it speaks of weakness. It's that idea without strength. Man, I don't know. I don't know if I can take the next step. I don't know. It's unimpressiveness, it's disease, it's sickness. In our weakness, the Holy Spirit energizes us. Sometimes, you know what the energizing is? I'm just hanging on. That's all I can do. All I can do is just hang on. And it's that energizing. And when you don't know what to do, God is still moving. When you don't know what to pray, God is still moving. When you feel speechless, the Spirit is speaking for you and through you. Desires to. Today really isn't a message about being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, which is a part of our doctrine and our practice. We'll focus in on that here in a couple weeks when Ty Buckingham is with us on October 29th. Make sure, man, you block out that Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. It's going to be a powerful time. He was with us a year ago, and it was awesome. So today really isn't about being baptized in the Holy Spirit with receiving your prayer language. But let me just say this. Paul speaks about having a prayer language in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14. And so I just, without getting lost in the weeds on this topic, because it's really not our focus this morning, I just want to say that it's the biblical pattern. It isn't weird. It isn't odd. Scripturally, it's normative. And the church has made it not normative, because man has gotten in the way, or our theologies have gotten in the way. But this passage tells us that prayer is a team sport. That's what I'm getting at. It's tag teaming with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit isn't just praying for us. He's praying through us. It's tag team. Think about the partnership. I love what Robert Morris, he's a pastor and author, said this in his book, The God I Never Knew. Now, think about this partnership. Holy Spirit's praying for you, but he's also praying through you. So you're involved in this thing, right? Morris said this, the Holy Spirit is ready and available to help us pray more effectively and to actually pray through us. Many Christians find prayer a boring, lifeless exercise because they never open themselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, okay, this is like a confession Sunday. How many of you have ever had boring moments in prayer? You're just like, you say, okay, I'm going to pray today. And we were joking in first service. I was like, oh, man, that's that dog that's like four blocks away. I can hear that dog bark. You know, and just it's distraction after distraction, you know. And you start thinking about things that you haven't thought about in years. Just distraction, you know. And all this is just like, oh, boy, you know, well, I guess I'm going to get a good nap in. Or it's lifeless. It's like you feel like you hit a ceiling in it. How? And I think about that, and I know that we've all been there, we've all experienced that. But yet Scripture tells us that we are connecting. The Holy Spirit's praying, who's in us, is praying through us, but he's also praying for us. And it makes me think, oh, Steve, how could you ever look at prayer as being boring and lifeless when it's the Spirit within you that has this partnership and this is a team thing? And I get it, because we're broken people, that happens. But I'm just like, oh, Lord, stir me. Stir me. Stir that passion in me. So so there's this partnership that happens. Paul talks further about it, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. All through that chapter, he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about praying in the Spirit and just this partnership that's happening. It's a beautiful dance. All that to say this: you're more connected than you think. It's available to you because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit energizing you, the Spirit strengthening you, the Spirit interceding for you. That leads us to the third thought: Holy Spirit searches in our waiting. Look at it in verse 27. And when he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What is the mind of the Spirit? Well, there's several things. We could go a lot of places, but let me just say this. One of the things, the mind of the Spirit is this: it's your sanctification. It's you, it's setting you apart. It's work the Spirit of God working in you so that you become more like Jesus. Using life moments to develop us, to embolden us, to give us confidence, to lift us, but also to soften us. Let me just say this. And in your relationship with God and in your struggles, because we all have them, right? Look at your neighbor and say, you got them. But so do I, right? Listen, if we're not moving the ball down the field, so to speak, and we're just comfortable with where I've been at. My life hasn't changed. I don't have any more of a desire to follow after God today than I did a year ago or 5 years ago. And I've just kind of put a lid on my relationship with God. If that's where you're at, then something should be like, that's not where God wants me. That's not what this partnership really speaks about. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this: I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Can I just say this over someone today, that God hasn't thrown in the towel on you? God says, you're not done. He's saying, man, this is all you're going to shine. So, no way. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Power you. But also, Romans 15, 16 says that you'd be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So there's this partnership going on. I want you to notice something in verses 26 and 27. You could throw that text up on the screen. There's a word that is used twice. It's one time in verse 26, one time in verse 27. And it's the word intercede. See it? Circle it in your Bible. What's the big deal? If I could get a little geeky greeky with you for a second. Because English, in our English language, we use the same word with the same definition. But the richness of the New Testament language, the Old Testament language of Hebrew, is that, man, there's this multifaceted diamond definition to it. And so in verse 26, I've already told you earlier the meaning of intercede, but it means to energize. It means to invigorate. Okay? So likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes. The Spirit energizes. The Spirit invigorates. In verse 27, that word intercede is plead, because the Spirit pleads for the saints according to the will of God. What's the big deal? In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, because you are sons, or because you are daughters, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Spirit pleading, Abba, Father. So let me just try to unpack it this way. You're mad? You're hurt? Maybe you feel empty because of the weight of the season. Maybe you're frustrated because of the length of the season. Holy Spirit is stepping into that place saying, oh, Abba Father, here's Jennifer. I'm lifting Jennifer up to you. Oh, Abba Father, here's Tracy. I'm lifting up Tracy to you. He's your son. He's an heir. Oh, they're walking through this situation. I'm lifting them up. Holy Spirit is always, listen, the Holy Spirit is always trying to get us to the Father. Let's go back to the wheelbarrow. Nate, can I use you real quick? Come up here, Nate. Trust me? All right. Okay, we're going to hope we don't go over the edge. Take a seat. This wheelbarrow, okay? It's Nate's life. Nate is riding on the edge of the wheelbarrow. Nate's you. Okay? And I'm going to represent the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is just representation, right? And what's Nate is riding on the wheelbarrow, all his stuff, the feelings of loneliness, the feelings of suffering, the feelings of temptation and trials and messing up. It's all right there. And what's the Holy Spirit doing? Holy Spirit is saying, you know what, Nate, you have one role in this. All I want you to do is just hang on, man. So you hanging on? All right, you sure? Because I can't tell. If you're not, I'm not responsible. Okay? All the Holy Spirit is doing is lifting you, and He wants to take you somewhere. Right? And you're hanging on, so the Holy Spirit is moving you. Just kidding. Just kidding. That was probably a bad idea right there. You're lucky. And the Holy Spirit is just moving. And you know what? Sometimes you're riding along and you've been praying the same prayer for a long time and you've been trying to be faithful and you feel the weight of the storm and you feel the weight of the situation and it just feels heavy, man. It's not got off your back, but all you're doing is hanging on. All you're doing is what you know to do. And you're just hanging on and all of a sudden you don't feel like you're moving. You don't feel like situations are changing. You don't feel like you're growing closer to God. In fact, you're not hearing God speak. You're just hanging on. And as you're hanging on, you don't realize it, you don't feel it, but you're moving. And you're being moved to the place where God wants you to be. And that place is closer to Him. The goal for you is to hang on. Hang on and trust that the Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. The Holy Spirit has one mission, one goal, and that's to get you to the Father. Let me ask you a question. Do you think He's going to fail? Heck no. While you're on the wheelbarrow, you may be saying, again, I don't feel anything. The scenery's not changing a whole lot. I feel alone. And all of a sudden, you've moved. Not on your own strength. I hope the carpet goes back. But you moved. And all you've done is hang on. And the Spirit has taken you to where He wants you to be. And through to where He wants you to be. It may not be over yet. You still may be in the valley. You still may be in the storm. You may still feel the weight. But if you're closer to the Father, you are where you need to be. Thanks, Nate. Give Nate up. Give him a hand. Caleb did that for me. First service, he didn't stick around. He's like, I'm out of here. The worship team would come. All of a sudden, you've moved from here to there, and you didn't even realize it. Just hang on. Feel lonely? Hang on. You're not alone. The big idea as we transition this morning is the Holy Spirit is drawing you closer to God by drawing out of you what is most desired by God, which is a desperation for Him. You know, we may not like this truth, but it's true. I think you see it throughout Scripture. God's a good God, right? He does awesome things for us. But I don't think He's so much concerned about getting us through a storm or through a season as He is about us coming to know Him better and reflecting Him more. That's not to minimize what's going on in our life. I hope you hear my heart on that. It's just that let's not have a short view. Let's have a long view. See, God, get me to where you want me to be, where I need to be. I'm just going to hang on. I trust you, Holy Spirit. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, as we ponder these words today, I know as I look around the sanctuary, as I know some are watching online, knowing their stories and their seasons, Lord, it's hard, it's heavy, there's disappointments perhaps, but God, I thank you. Partnership. Holy Spirit, thank you for interceding for us. Thank you for pleading for us, for your energy, that you energize us, that you give us the strength, even if all that strength is just hanging on. Thank you that in the midst of just hanging on, God, you're pleading on. God, you're continuing to pray for us. So Lord, I pray that the big idea today, God, would just be a desperation in our hearts for more of you. God, that there'd just be this confidence within us. Lord, you're taking me somewhere, and it's a good place because you're a good God. And though I maybe don't like this season, I don't like the scenery right now, God, if I stay with you, you're going to get me to where you want me to be. And I want to stay faithful to that, Lord God. Because, Lord, even when I'm weak, you're strong. First off, Lord, I want to address anyone in this place, anyone watching online, that you've never asked the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You have been holding the wheelbarrow all by yourself. You've been carrying the weight of life and situations of life and the predicaments of life and the seasons of life all on your own. And you're like, man, I am tired. I feel empty. I am worn down, beaten down, and don't know why I exist. Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're watching online, and that's where you feel like you're at. Can I just say to you, that may be real, that may be where you're at, that's not what Jesus has for you. That's not where he wants to leave you. He wants to help you. He wants to lift you. He wants to place his Spirit within you because you've called upon him to be your Lord and your Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, or maybe there was a time in your life where you did that and then you walked away and you've been living for yourself and you're here, you find yourself here this morning going, man, I need to let God have his rightful place in my life so that this load of life can be lifted from me. You're here and you want to make that profession of faith. Ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Just right where you're at, just lift up your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. See that hand, man. See that hand. Father God. Lord, I know some that have raised their hand. They're just starting out. They're just getting to know you, Lord. Following after you has been a new thing for the last several weeks. God, others may be the first time. And Lord, regardless of where we find ourselves in our relationship with you, may the joy of the Lord be our strength. May our salvation, the joy of our salvation, God, even if we followed after you for decades, may it be fresher today, realizing this partnership that we have with you. God, may it be more exciting, more exhilarating, and more energized today because, wow, this is a partnership that we have with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that we are really never alone. Maybe you're here today, you're a follower of Jesus, and you're just like, man, I just want the Spirit to move in me, to have his way in me in ways that maybe I've never allowed him to, or I'm not familiar with him, but I know that he's God and that he lives within me and that he wants to use me. And you're here this morning and you're saying, I just want to walk out this partnership. I don't know how it's all going to fold out, but I just want to walk it out. Would you just slip up your hand to the Lord? Not to me, but Lord, here I am, Lord. I lift my hands to you, and I want to walk out what you have for me. God, I thank you that I'm not alone in seasons of life. And God, I'm not called to follow you alone. I'm not called to do the work of the ministry alone. I'm not called to live with an expectant expectation of your return alone. The Holy Spirit, you are in me and partnering with me. Lord, may we just have a fresh understanding and a fresh realization of that. And as we worship you through this last song, God, may we boldly step towards you and boldly, God, have a desperation. Maybe there's some in the room that they're, if they're honest with themselves, they're like, man, I've not had a holy desperation. I've just been in a season of life. It's not that I'm doing anything wrong, but the fire is not burning like I know the Spirit would want it to burn within me. And so during this song, I just, Holy Spirit, fill me, ignite me, burn within me. I don't want to leave here the same today as I came in. Have your way. Church, would you stand with me? If any of those are your prayer, and let's not waste this moment. Let's not just say, well, man, we're getting out a little early today or whatever. And step towards him. Ask him for that desperation if you don't have it.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.